Okay, so the goal is to look at complex projective line arrangements. So I kind of want to take a survey, but I want to wait for the 30 seconds to go up before they... Perfect. All right, so as the settling in is going on, raise your hand if you have taken a class in topology. Raise your hand if you've taken a class in algebraic geometry. Great, so we can do everything. Okay, so you don't need to know about anything for this talk except what is a line. So we're starting with the easiest word in the title, which is a line. So in R2, what would you say a line is? How would you describe it? How can you define a line? Two points, good. So if you pick two points, then there is a single line going through those two points. What's another way to describe a line in R2?
The graph of y is equal to mx plus c.
Yeah. So what every high schooler should know. Slope-intercept form. So another way that you could rewrite this formula is you could say, well, changing your letters around a little bit, you have alpha x plus beta y plus gamma equals 0. And it's the set of points, x comma y, in R2, which satisfy that sort of equation. So in this case, m would look like negative alpha over beta. And so that's the slope. Okay, so we all have a good idea of what a line is. Now, what if we have two lines? What is their intersection going to look like?
Points.
Yeah. Okay, so it should just be a single point. So two lines intersect in a point, unless they don't. And when is that? When they're parallel. Okay, so unless they're parallel, and this is terrible. So parallel lines have this sort of special property that they don't intersect, but there's no reason that parallel lines should be any more special than any other pair of lines. So in projective space, all lines intersect exactly once. So all pairs of lines will intersect. So what we'll do is we can just start with R2, and we have these problematic parallel lines. So what's the best way to make them intersect? Well, we just say that they do. So what we're going to do is, so for parallel lines, we're going to add in a point. So this is outside of R2, or in addition to R2, where those two lines intersect. So if they're parallel, that means they have the same slope, right? So we're going to add some line way out here at infinity, or some point way out here at infinity, which corresponds to this slope. So for each slope, we add a point corresponding to that slope. So maybe the slope is negative alpha over beta. And so we'll add this point in infinity. Maybe we'll call it infinity alpha beta. So we have a lot of infinities. And so whenever we have two lines which are parallel, there's exactly one of these infinity points where they intersect. And if they're not parallel, then they won't intersect at infinity. They have different infinity points that they limit off to. So you can think of this as the limit as you go along a line of that slope. So usually, you know, in calculus, you say, oh, the limit is infinity, but really that means the limit doesn't exist. There's no point in your space where you would limit to if you just follow this line. And now we're going to actually add a point in, which is the limit. So how many of these points do we have to add in? One for each slope. So how many slopes are there in R2? Yeah, so you have a slope, you know, for each direction. So you can sort of like go around in the circle and you get, you know, here you have a horizontal slope and then you have a positive slope, the infinity vertical slope, and then you get negative slopes, and then you're back at horizontal slope. So actually, you know, if you only go halfway around the circle, these two are the same slope. So you get different slopes all the way until you hit this point. And so your space of slopes, it looks something like if you took this half circle and then glued those two ends together. So it looks like a circle, right? We have a circle's worth of infinity. So maybe here we have slope 0, infinity, slope 0, 0 over 1. Here we have infinity, slope 1 over 1. This is infinity. The vertical one is going to be you go, you know, something like 1 over 0. That's infinity slope. And then here we're back at infinity 0 comma 1. So on this picture, you know, this is our infinity 0. And this is, you know, this vertical slope up here. And you go around the circle, you hit different points of infinity. So we've added this many points into just our regular R2. And so we have, you know, these two spaces together that keeps track of all of our points. And we have this idea of limiting, so we know how to get from a point in R2 out to one of these points. So that's, you know, sort of what this space looks like. Now we want to think about what lines. Okay, so let me give you, you know, this is a picture. It's kind of nice. You can see what all the points in our space are, but it's a little bit hard to work with if you want to do, like, equations on the space. So this space I'm going to call RP2. So the R stands for real, the P stands for projective, and the 2 is because we're two-dimensional. We started with R2. So here's another way to define RP2. This is the space of lines in R3 through the origin in R3, 0, 0, 0. So for each line in R3, we're going to have a corresponding point in R2 for each line that goes through the origin. So what does that look like? How do you characterize a line that goes through the origin? So maybe it does something like this. So it hits 0. And, you know, to determine what that point is, you could just pick any other point, you know, any point in R3, there's going to be exactly one line that goes through that point and the origin, right? So let's say this point is XYZ. So the space of lines in R3 looks like, well, we pick all of our points XYZ, except which is the one point that we can't pick to define a line through the origin? Yeah, so if you pick the origin, well, all the lines through the origin go through that, so that's not very well defined. So we have R3 minus the origin, except that if we pick two points which are on the same line, maybe X prime, Y prime, Z prime is on the same line, then, you know, we want to consider those the same in RP2. So we're going to view this as an equivalence class. So instead of just viewing this as a point, we're going to use this notation with these squared brackets and colons. And the idea is that we consider x, y, z equal in this space to anything that's on the same line. So how would you characterize things that are on the same line with x, y, z? Yeah, scalar multiples. So if you multiply each component by the same number, so c is just some real number that's not zero, because we don't want to ever get 0, 0, 0 here, then these are equal to each other. And that's the equivalence relation. So this is another way to define RP2. And now let's see how we can show that that looks exactly like this space. So we need to split it into two pieces. So the first piece, that's going to be, let's look at the points x, y, z in this projective space where the z part is not equal to 0. Okay, so first of all, does this make sense? So if you have one way to write x, y, z such that z is not equal to 0, then if you multiply by any number, any scalar, the z is going to stay not 0, right? So that's sort of a good way to define it. And so the second piece is going to be the rest is the x, y, z, where z is actually 0. Okay, so for this piece, if z is not 0, then we can choose any scalar to multiply it by, and we can rewrite it, and it will be the same point. So let's multiply it by 1 over z. Since z is not 0, that's okay. So we get x over z, y over z, and 1 in the last component. So you could sort of rename, you can say anything in this piece, you can write as some number, 1. And so maybe you sort of re-coordinatize this, and you call x over z, x tilde, y over z, y tilde, and then you just have 1 in the last component. So this is your change of coordinates. And then, you know, every single point has exactly one way to write it in this way, and you can pick any numbers for x tilde and y tilde here. So x tilde and y tilde can be any number in R2. Does that make sense? Easy. Okay, so this piece just looks like R2, right? So that's this piece. And how about this piece? Who off the bat believes that this is that circle that we talked about, that circle of slopes? Okay, so you need some convincing. All right, so now we can play the same game here. If y is not 0, then we could look at, you know, x over y, 1, 0. There's a better way to do this. So x and y can be any numbers in R2, right? Except what? They can't both be 0. Then we're at our bad point. So this is equal to, you know, we've got all the points x and y in R2 except for 0, 0. And we're quotienting out by this equivalence. So x, y, 0 is considered equal to cx, cy, 0. So now compare this definition to this definition. Can you guys see that far over on the board? Nothing's blocking. Okay. So basically, in this picture, I mean, we have this extra 0 sitting around here, but this is really the two-dimensional version of what we did with our 3 here. So if you were convinced that this was defining the space of lines through the origin in R3, then by the same logic, this is going to be the space of lines to the origin in R2. So these lines through the origin were exactly what parameterized the space of slopes. And so that was how we got this circle over here. So this is the circle. This part's the R2. Any questions? So now what we want to do is look at lines in this space. So we wanted our lines to intersect at infinity, and we had this idea that we could define lines by linear equations. So in projective space, so those are lines in R2. So now we're going to look at projective lines. So a projective line in RP2 is going to be defined, again, by a linear equation. So it's going to be the set of points where we have now these bracket coordinates. So these are usually called homogeneous coordinates. So we have a point in RP2, or all of the points in RP2, which satisfy some equation. Alpha x plus beta y plus gamma z equals 0. So these are, all degree 1. And instead of the constant that we had before, now we have this z showing up. So let's maybe call this L alpha, beta, gamma. So alpha, beta, and gamma are constants. So this is some set of points in RP2. Let's see what it looks like. So what is it in this first piece, the R2 piece? So that's the set of points where z is not 0. So the z not 0 part, so the part of the line L alpha beta gamma in the z is not 0 part. So let's see, what do we have? If z is not 0, then we can write these points as x over z, y over z, 1. And we want to look at the points that look like this, where if you plug in these coordinates into here, you get this equation is satisfied. So alpha x over z plus beta y over z plus gamma times 1 equals 0. And so if we switch again to our sort of change of coordinates, where we call this x tilde and this y tilde, which is, the coordinates that we used to identify one of these points with R2, then it looks just like a regular linear equation in R2. So this is just the equation for some line, right? So in the z equals not 0 part, it looks like an actual line. And then what's going on in the z equals 0 part? Okay, so if z equals 0, and x, y, z is a point on this line, L alpha beta gamma, then what does that say? Alpha x plus beta y plus gamma times 0 equals 0. So we have, some relation between alpha and beta here. So one way, one possible solution to this equation is x equals beta and y equals alpha. And we know that z is equal to 0 in this point. So here's one solution. And I'm claiming that actually any other solution is equivalent to this. Right? So if you plug in... Oh, I messed up. There should be a negative sign here. If I plug in beta for x, negative alpha for y, then they'll cancel out. And so, in fact, any solution to this equation is going to have the form beta times some constant, negative alpha times some constant, 0. So there's just one point in this z equals 0 part, and it corresponds to the slope alpha and beta. So that's our point at infinity, our alpha beta point at infinity. So we've got this line plus one point. If you go out in either direction, you're going to hit that same point at infinity. So what does a projective line look like topologically? Well, the line, as you go out towards infinity, is going towards that one same point. So it's again, a circle. All right, so lines in real projective space are circles. Now we're going to do one more level up and adding complex numbers here. Okay, so complex projective lines. And this is not a huge transition once you're okay with these coordinates. So, all right. We're going to change everything that's real to complex. Thankfully, no one's taking notes here. So, complex projective two-space. All right, we just look at the space of, well, complex lines in C3. That's pretty hard to imagine. So we'll just go straight to this coordinate definition. So now you can look at your x, y, and z. Just view them as complex numbers instead of real numbers. So x, y, or z can all be somewhere in this complex plane where you have, you know, the real axis here and then the imaginary axis here. So for every single real dimension that we had, now we have twice as many. And we have the same sort of equivalence, but because we want to look at complex lines, a complex line is really a plane. It's a two-dimensional thing. So it's if you picked in C3, which is really twice as big as this, if you picked one vector, you want to look at all of the complex multiples of that vector. So you can multiply it by real scalars, and you'll get a line's worth, and then you can multiply it by I, and then you get, you know, sort of a plane's worth. Impossible to draw, though. So, okay, so now we're starting out with a six-dimensional space, and then we have this equivalence, which is this two-dimensional thing. So what you end up with, with the real projective thing, we had our R2 was most of it, and then, so that was two-dimensional, and then we have this extra circle at infinity. Here, we have the z not equals 0 piece. We can still, you know, divide by z. Just because these are complex numbers doesn't, you know, we can still divide and multiply in the same way. And we'll get, this is coordinatized by all the points now in C2. So the difference here is C2 is four-dimensional. If you want to visualize it. But visualizing it is sort of hard. This z equals 0 piece is going to be a little bit simpler, except that we don't have our nice slope interpretation. Okay, so we're looking at these sorts of things. And all right, so are we okay that, you know, the z not equals 0 part, it's some regular Euclidean four-dimensional space? That's not too terrible. So let's just figure out what the z equals 0 part looks like. Any guesses what the z equals 0 part will be?
Negative
So we have x, y, 0, and we say that x, y, 0 is equal to, let's call it lambda x, lambda y, 0, to emphasize the fact that lambda can be any complex number except for 0. And so x and y are complex numbers. Okay, so we can split this into a y equals 0 and a y doesn't equal 0 part. So in the y is not equal to 0 part, we get x over y, 1, 0. So we have these points. This can be any complex number, right? So this is the y not equal to 0 part. Every single point in this part can be written exactly one way, like this. So this part just looks like the complex plane. Get one of these points for every complex number. And then if y does equal 0, well, then you just have the x part. And these are all equivalent. You can multiply by 1 over x. And no matter what x you started out with, you can say this is equal to 1, 0, 0. So that's just one extra point. So we start out with a complex plane, and we've added in one point. And you should view this extra point as the point at infinity again. So if you go off as your y is going to 0, then this coordinate, this complex coordinate, is going off to infinity somehow. So, you know, that's what's going on here. So if you go off in any direction here, your limit is this one point. So if you have a plane and you're trying to roll it up so that no matter what direction you go off in, you get to the same point, then what topologically do we have? What shape? It's a sphere. All right, great. So, you know, this is your origin, this is your unit circle in C, and then you go really, really far out, and eventually you hit infinity. So, in fact, z equals 0, okay, so this is actually a line, right? This fits our definition of a line. So our definition of a line, you know, in the complex and the real case is just, it's, you know, the zero set of one of these polynomials. So we have alpha x plus beta y plus gamma z equals 0. And so if you pick alpha equals 0, beta equals 0, and gamma equals 1, then you get the equation z equals 0. So this is, in fact, an example of a line in complex projective space. So these lines are spheres. And in fact, every single line is going to be a sphere. So what you can find is that in general, so for any equation like this, you're going to have a z not equals to 0 part, which looks like some plane inside of this four-dimensional space. So it's going to be bent in different directions, so you'll have like different slopes, just like we had for the real ones, we had just lines in R2. Here we're going to have planes in C2. And then at the z equals 0 part, I mean, unless the z equals 0 part is all of it, and then we know what it is. At the z equals 0 part, then, so if alpha and beta are not both 0, then we have alpha x plus beta y plus 0 equals 0. And in the same way that we did before, we can sort of say that everything is equal to negative beta alpha 0. Every solution is equivalent to this. So we get one point at infinity that gets added on for each line. Okay, so lines in CP2 are spheres. By the way, So, you know, like circles and spheres, when you think of them, you can fill them in regular space, regular R3. You can fill in a circle on the board with a disk. You can fill in a sphere in space with a ball. For these guys, you actually can't fill them in these spaces. So, like, if you were looking at the real version, so imagine that you've added in these points at infinity. A real projective line looks like an actual line plus this point at infinity corresponding to its slope. And if you tried to fill it in, maybe you fill it in on this side, you'd eventually hit all of these other infinities corresponding to all of these other slope directions. So you'd have sort of another side that you'd hit, and you can't fill it in and close it off with just one piece, one circle along the side. So this guy is actually going to be another circle, because these two points are the same infinity, and these are all going to be different infinities. So in real projective space, if you have two lines, you can fill in between them. So like some sort of cylinder, except really twisted and messed up because it's in this weird space. But you can't fill in just one of them. In complex projective space, no matter how many of them you take, how many of these spheres that you take that are defined this way, you can't fill it in between. You can't connect anything. So you should take algebraic topology if you want to know more about that. This is homology. So what I really want to talk about, which I think is this cool topic that I've been learning about lately, is what if you have a bunch of these lines, these projective spheres in CP2? So we know, two lines intersect at a point, and this is going to be the same for these complex projective lines. Any two of these spheres is going to intersect at exactly one point in this space. And they're going to intersect, you know, so that they don't overlap. They just intersect at that point. So this is very hard to imagine because it's in a four-dimensional space, so two planes in three dimensions, they can't just intersect at a point, but in four dimensions, they can. Just try this for an example. So let's look at, two lines. Let's take the other one to be kind of simple. Think about high school algebra. How would you find the intersection between two lines? Yeah, like you set them equal, you solve this equation. So maybe you have two equations, so you solve y equals negative z, and then maybe you plug that into the first equation, so you have x plus negative z plus iz equals 0. And so this looks like x equals 1 minus I times z. Okay, so any solution, we've now written x in terms of z, y in terms of z, any solution is going to look like 1 minus I times z, negative z, comma z. This is just one point in projective space, right? Because they're all multiples of 1 minus I, negative 1, 1. So that's going to happen for any pair of equations like this. Get exactly one solution. So if we just have two lines, we know what happens. They intersect at one point. Boring. But let's say we look at three lines. So now we're going to draw schematics, because drawing these spheres in dimension 4 is not possible. So if we have three lines, two of them intersect at one point. The third one has to intersect each of these two, each at one point. So maybe it intersects them at two different points, Or maybe all three of them intersect at the same point. Those are our two options, right? What if you have five lines? So maybe you could have all five of them intersect at the same point. Maybe you have a triple point here, and then you have one line that intersects these three in three different points. And then maybe your next line, maybe it also goes through one of these points. And it has to intersect, yeah, all four lines. So it intersected this one at this point, and then it intersected this one here, and it intersected this one here. So every single pair of lines intersects at some point. That's sort of the rule. So this is the rule. Any two lines intersects exactly once. But you could have maybe these sort of triple points. But you can get things that are sort of more difficult to draw. And you can ask, can those sorts of arrangements be done with these complex projective line equations? So this is the Fano arrangement. All right, so we're going to start out. Okay, we know any two lines, they intersect. Let's try and add in as many triple points as possible. So here's one. We have three lines. We're going to get a total of seven lines. So we have three so far. Now we'll add another one here, and let's make that a triple point. And now we have these two double points here and here. Let's make both of those triple points by adding our sixth line. Okay, so we have one, two, three, four, five, and six. These are our six lines. And now we're going to add a seventh line to try and make all of these double points triple points. Okay, so in this picture, clearly I cannot draw a straight line that goes through all these points, right? So we'll just draw it as a circle. Okay, so this circle is supposed to represent a line. And the question is, can you do this with actual straight lines? Can you find seven straight lines which intersect in these seven triple points? And can you do that with real lines? Can you do that with complex lines? Can you do that with complex projective lines? So it's actually not super hard to show that, in fact, you can't even do this with complex projective lines. So you can't even do this with these spheres. So we have to use a trick. So for CP2, we get to pick sort of like coordinate basis. So think about if you're looking in R3 or any like regular vector space, then if you didn't have the axes drawn at the beginning, you could sort of pick any, you could pick a point to be your origin, and then you could pick three vectors to define a basis. So as long as you have enough independence, these guys don't all lie on the same plane, and you don't have any three in a single line, then this is going to define, you can define your x, y, and z coordinates this way. So you get to pick where four points go. So in CP2, you're going to be able to say you're going to pick which point goes to 1, 0, 0, which point goes to 0, 1, 0, which point goes to 0, 0, 1, and then which point goes to 1, 1, 1. By the way, these sort of look somewhat linearly independent in some way. So the point is that no three of, so as long as your 4 points, no three of them lie on the same projective line. Okay, so we're going to pick 4 points here. So let's name these points, and let's name them based on their intersections. So this circle is line number 7. This is line 1. This guy is line 2. This guy is line 3. This guy is line 4. This one is line 5, the horizontal one. This one's line 6, and then we've got all of them named. So this point we'll call P1, 2, 3. This point is P1, 5, 6. This is P3, 4, 5. This should be, let's see, 7 goes through here, 6 goes through here, 3, 6, 7. This is 4, 1, 1, 4, and 7. Through this one, we have 2, 5, and 7. And through this one in the middle, we get 4, 6, and 2. Okay, so we'd like to find lines which intersect in this sort of way. So we get to pick where 4 of these points go, as long as no 3 of them lie on the same line. So let's say P1, 2, 3 goes to this one, P1, 5, 6 goes to this one, and P3, 4, 5 goes to this one. So far these 3 points, none of them are on the same line, like when we draw these lines. And then we have to pick one more, which is not on any of the lines which two of these would define. So we can't pick a point on this line because then you have this point and this point and the point you picked being collinear. Similarly, you can't pick a point on this line or this line. So what we're sort of left with is to pick this point. So let's say P2, 4, 6 goes to 1, 1, 1. So what does that tell us? Well, we're going to figure out what the equations of the lines are. So, just like in R2, 2 points define a line. So, we want to define these lines by equations. Alright, I'm going to erase this. Okay, so, line 1 has to go through these 2 points. So if you have line 1 is defined by alpha x plus beta y plus gamma z equals 0, then when you plug in 1, 0, 0, this equation has to be true, right? So if you plug in 1 for x, 0 for y, and 0 for z, you get alpha equals 0. So this is from P1, 2, 3, lying on line 1. And if you use P1, 5, 6, then, similarly, you'll find that beta equals 0. And so, your line is going to look like gamma z equals 0, and you can just divide by gamma, whatever gamma is. So, this line is basically the line z equals 0. What other lines can we define? Easiest ones. Okay, line 5 goes through these 2 points. And so this is going to say that beta equals 0, and it's going to say that gamma equals 0. So we're going to get x equals 0 for line 5. Um,
these 3 points. Three. So between these 2 points, y equals 0 is going to work for this point and for this point. Okay. So that's going to be what line 3 is. And then we can define 3 lines that go through this point. So you'll have, if a line goes through that point, then so P2, 4, 6 tells you that alpha plus beta plus theta equals 0. Okay, so line 2, this tells us alpha equals 0. And so if alpha plus beta plus gamma equals 0, then beta and gamma have opposite signs. So it's going to look like y minus z equals 0. Is that convincing? Too fast? Okay. And then L4 goes through this one. The z component is 0, so we have x minus y equals 0. And for L6, it goes through this point. The y component is 0, so we get x minus z equals 0. Okay, so the question is, what can L7 be? So L7 doesn't go through any of these points, but now that we've written down these lines, we know what, we can determine what the points that L7 goes through are. So L7 goes through P147, so that's at the place where 1 and 4 intersect. So 1 and 4 tells us z equals 0. So z component is 0. And L4 tells us x equals y. So you can pick 1, 1. P257, that's going to be pretty similar. Y equals z, x equals 0. 0, 1, 1. And the last point, P367, is going to be whichever one we haven't done yet. Right, so y equals 0, and y equals z. So the question is there a line which satisfies all of these things? So is there an equation, alpha x plus beta y plus gamma z equals 0, where you plug in all these points and you get something true? So if you plug in the first one, alpha plus beta equals 0. If you plug in the second one, beta plus gamma equals 0. And if you plug in the third one, alpha plus gamma equals 0. So we have to solve this system of equations. The first tells us alpha equals negative beta. And the second tells us, let's say gamma equals negative beta. And so this one tells us alpha equals negative gamma. And plugging this in, that tells us alpha equals beta. So alpha equals beta, but by this equation, alpha equals negative beta. So the only number that equals its negative is 0. So alpha equals 0. But alpha equals negative beta, so beta has to equal 0. And gamma equals negative beta, so gamma has to equal 0. So then our equation just looks like 0 equals 0. And that's not giving us so that tells us is there's no non-zero values of alpha, beta, gamma, which means there's no line which goes through these points. So we have some example where there's no solutions. I printed this out but forgot to bring it up here. But I have like a worksheet which I'll grab before. We had upstairs, which, like, I think we don't have enough time for. There's a configuration of 8 lines with lots of triple points. In fact, there's going to be 8 triple points. And all the rest will be double. So this is some configuration where you can say Okay, I'll label my lines L0, L1, all the way to L7, or L1 through L8. And you can specify, you know, what points do we want them to intersect at. So maybe there's like P012, P034, P056, and there's going to be 8 of them. And what you can show is that if you do the same sort of procedure, and you pick 4 points to be what you want them to be, then you can look at you can look for solutions. And what you're going to get is that there are two answers. So you can write down equations for L0, L1, all the way up to L7 in exactly 2 different ways once you fixed your coordinate system, once you fixed those 4 points. So in that case, you have exactly 2 configurations. And what you'll show is that the equations for the lines have to use complex numbers. So I'll grab those handouts, bring them here in 5 minutes, and you can bring them home, or we can like talk about it upstairs if you want to. But it's kind of cool. So what you're going to do is you start solving these equations, and you'll get a system of equations, and you'll have some sort of variable. So in this case, we could solve for all of the lines except for the last one. In this 8-line case, not all the lines will be, not all but the last line will be determined by the 4 points. You'll have one where, you know, maybe it could be any range of possibilities. So maybe it's something like x minus a times y equals 0. So this is the type of line which, it goes through the point 0, 0, 1. But if you leave this variable in here, then you can actually get any line through 0, 0, 1, as long as this A goes through any complex number. So that's sort of how you describe, you know, what's a line where I only know it goes through 1 point instead of it goes through 2 points. And so you'll have one of the lines looks like this sort of equation, right? You don't know all the information about it, but as you write down equations for more and more lines, what you'll find is that this A is going to have to satisfy some polynomial, something like A squared plus A plus 1 equals 0. So it's a quadratic, and you can solve the quadratic formula, and you'll get some imaginary numbers. So this is some kind of configuration which you cannot draw with real lines in the plane. You cannot draw with straight lines. But you can do this complex line. And you get exactly 2 of them. So that's kind of cool. And you could ask, you know, can I get 10 different solutions? Can I get infinitely many solutions? Can I get as many solutions as there are points in a sphere? And so what is sort of crazy about this is that you can get any sort of solution set that you want. You can have any finite number of solutions. You can have any algebraic varieties worth of solutions. So pretty much any space is going to be, the points of that space will parameterize the solutions to some configuration. So as you add more and more lines, then you get crazier and crazier things. So here's the craziest thing that I think I've heard of. If you have 13 lines, you can find an arrangement. Okay, so this is only going to be maybe amazing to people who know some topology. But you can find 2 different complex line arrangements. they have to use complex numbers. They can't use just real numbers. So two solutions. They're going to be exactly two solutions. And if you look at inside of CP2, you cut out those spheres, and you look at the space that's left over, those two spaces are not homeomorphic. So, you know, if you drew three lines like this, they intersect in three different points, and then you drew them like sort of skinny. Any way that you draw three lines where they intersect at these three points, if you look at what's outside of these lines, they look the same if you allow yourself to stretch and shrink things. So you could always find a way to transform outside of this, the outside of this. But with this 13-line arrangement, there's no way that you can send the outside of one of those solutions to the outside of the other. And they're distinguished by a fundamental group, which is like a pretty coarse invariant of the topology of the space. So they're actually they look really different, but they're so complicated that it's almost impossible to draw. There's like a lot of questions you can ask. Going off of this, you can say, well, these spheres in CP2, they're great. You can define them by these like nice linear equations. What if you allow yourself to push things around and just perturb in a smooth way? So if you take this configuration over here, no way to get these intersections if you're just looking at things defined by these kinds of equations. But what if you were just allowed to, you start with some sphere that intersects, your seventh sphere is maybe not intersecting in the right way, it's not going through all these points. Could you maybe just push it around a little bit so that it intersects in the right points? Absolutely, as far as I can tell, nobody knows the answer to that. A good amount that's known that's crazy, and there's also a good amount that's not known about these things at all. So I will stop. So I might run down to my office, which is like one floor down. And is the plan you guys go up to the lounge from here?
Yeah.
So maybe I will grab the 8-line arrangement. I have like 40 copies, which looks like enough. And I'll bring it up to the lounge, and you guys can grab a copy, and if you want to kind of work through it and like do these steps and find that there's like actually two solutions, then you can do it now or you can do it later, because I told you what were the two steps, so it will actually work.
So, you might prove in here, I guess, that you can't put that kind of arrangement into complex projective space. But as far as I can tell, the only place where we used any fact about the complex numbers was where we used the fact that if b is the same as negative b, then b has to be zero.
Yes.
So,
good point.
Have we proven something stronger?
No. In fact, that is exactly right. So, where in what field is b equal to negative b? Does that not imply b equals zero? In a field of two elements. So, this is actually the projective plane over a field of two elements. So, if you define x, the same sort of coordinates, x, y, z, but now x, y, and z Z12, and then you have the same sort of equivalence, which is kind of meaningless in Z12. Yeah, 1 or 0. You can multiply by 1. So if you look at the set of points like this, and you look at lines that are defined by alpha x plus beta y plus gamma z equals 0, or alpha, beta, and gamma are 0 or 1, then you will get exactly lines that go through points in this configuration. So that's why this actually has a name, Bano plane, because it's actually a thing, but you have to work over DMAP2.
So you can fit that thing into any field of characteristics?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so any further questions, you can ask me. I'll be around.